Very cool. I have Eric Neely on the Capital Racer Show now, brought to you by Pitch Decks. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Ruben. How are you?
Dude, you got the truck in the background. Where are you at right now?
I am pretty much in the middle of Kansas, in between Denver and the edge of Kansas. So.
So for those of you that don't know Eric Neely, he's the syndicator, capital raiser, and he's got a podcast called the Wealthy Trucker Podcast. Tell us a little bit about how you got into this space, the syndication space and capital raising.
Oh, boy. Long story. I can narrow it down as quickly as you want, or we can go as long as you want. But
man, I'm flexible.
Basically, I started spending so much time out here on the road listening to music was getting pretty boring. So I needed some talk radio, and I discovered this little thing called podcasts. I thought, man, I can learn whatever the heck I want to out here, and ended up running across a podcast called Bigger Pockets, which totally grabbed my attention. I thought, man, I might have the opportunity to make a little side money here, and started learning about real estate investing and the power that that can have on a person's finances, and ultimately led me to multifamily investing, and thought, well, if I'm going to spend my time out here on the road, I'm going to educate myself and learn how to do this thing. I spent a couple of years, quite honestly, just listening to podcasts, reading audiobooks, learning how to do the business. And before I really dove in and started doing it, now I own a couple of complexes and we syndicate on buying more. It's been a heck of a journey.
Well, first question, how much time do you spend in a truck?
Anywhere from 50 to 60 hours a week. And so in the truck is, I mean, it's every bit of 40 to 50 of those hours every week.
And then do you spend any of that time on personal development or mindset, education or Absolutely. Training? So what kind of stuff do you listen to? I'm curious.
Well, I start my day out every day with a sermon. So I'm Christian, and you know, on my podcast, The Wealthy Trucker, that's one thing that I talk about quite a bit is my faith. So as far as my personal development is concerned, that's number one. So I start off with that. It kind of ranges after that. I mean, I know that mindset is very important. So I've done multiple different things. One of the things that's in my mind right now is Miracle Morning. That's what I was thinking of. That's one of the key things I think that helped me develop my mindset over just about anything else and start taking a serious focus in on developing something, whether that's been my Christian faith or my marriage life, my life with my kids, or business life. All of it. I have utilized the Miracle Morning steps in making all of those areas of my life better. So mindset is a very big deal to me.
Cool. So I'm very interested and fascinated with multifamily syndication and capital raising, but I'm very curious also on the spiritual side. You said something that really caught my attention, which was that your number one thing that you focus on is faith. So tell me about that. Why faith? Why not marriage? Why not business? Why is it that one in particular that you focus the most on?
Well, in my true honest opinion, if a guy doesn't have a solid faith, all of the rest of life, every element of life will lack in what it could potentially be. My faith in God is number one, because if I have a strong relationship with God, I will have a better relationship with my wife. I'll have a better relationship with my kids. I will have a better relationship with how I run my business, because my ultimate goal and my ultimate focus is so much bigger and better than all of those things. And so that probably the simplest way to summarize it, if that makes sense.
What about how it affects your relationship with yourself?
Well, we could get deeply theological.
I like it. I mean, I like going down this road, man.
To me, if anybody doesn't have something greater than themselves, then self in my mind really doesn't mean much of anything. How do you get any type of value, or how can you place value on yourself?
And it's a tricky question, man.
It is a tricky question. I don't even know. Yes, it is. And I struggle to even put the words together. Self-worth has to come from somewhere. And in my belief, that comes from God. And so if I'm going to have any type of self-worth, I have to look to something greater than myself. And so that's where God comes into play.
Now, how does this compare to the stuff that Napoleon Hill talks about in the book, Think and Grow Rich?
A lot of those elements are there. You know, they're I really like the book. I've read it a couple of times. As a matter of fact, I paid one of my daughters. I offered it up to my kids, all of them. I said, I'll pay you $20 if you read this and write me a review.
That's
none of them ever finished, but some of them started. I do have mixed emotions on the book, because the whole idea of, well, the concept of where you think of one thing and it will come to you. I can't remember exactly how Napoleon puts it, but
to think is to create, thoughts become things. Those are some of his concepts that he loves to talk about.
And you know, there's maybe some truth to that. Then again, in the Bible, I wish I had scripture in front of me. I don't. God talks about how man will plan his steps, but God is the ultimate, but will develop his path. It's something right along those lines. So like for me in real estate, one of the things that I constantly tell myself, God, if this is the plan that you have for my life, I will gladly walk down this. And if it's not the plan you have for my life, I'll gladly walk down whatever door you open along the way. And so ultimately, if apartment ownership isn't for me long-term and God has another plan for me, I'm going to go down that path. But right now, where my mindset is and the manifestations, if you will, that I'm creating with my mind is very much, it kind of goes in step with biblical thinking, but it misses that one element where God is the ultimate designer of our life. And so Napoleon Hill, it's a great book. It's an awesome read, but I think if you're going to approach it as a Christian, you have to be careful.
Very interesting. Now, tell you what, man, let's go into multifamily syndication. What kind of real estate do you do?
I bought a 24 unit a couple of years back that I self-manage. And that was kind of my intro into this world. And I just did a JV deal with a couple other partners. And you know, it was a smaller scale property. And it's right here in my backyard. From that, we progressed into where we started raising capital for larger syndications where we brought on passive investors. And so it's a full-blown 506B. We'll do 506C offerings eventually, I'm sure. And yeah, we're doing, it's full-blown passive investment opportunity for other people to get involved.
And what kind of deals are you looking to acquire? Or what have you been acquiring on the syndication side?
You know, what I have done so far is the one syndication we have done was the Class A property. It has a value add element to it. And then my 24 unit, it's a Class C property, and it's got a major value add component to it. So that's probably always going to be where I focus if I'm going to buy an existing complex. But beyond that, I am starting to venture into the idea of developing built-to-rent communities and maybe even assisted living and syndicating along those lines as well. So well, the sky's the limit. Whatever the demand is for the area that I'm looking in is the road I'm going to go down. So there's a high demand for the built-to-rent in my local community where I live. And so I see two reasons for doing it. One, I can add to the local community. I can increase the value or whatever. I can bring benefit to my local community. And then beyond that, you know, I can bring benefit to investors from a passive standpoint.
Let's step back into this moment where you're going from your JV to raising capital from other people, particularly for a syndication. It's a different style of capital raise when you're not partnering with people that have active roles, but you're actually taking and managing and being a steward of people's money. So what was this process like? What did you start to do in order to brand, to get your name out, to get in front of other investors? Did you have a plan for that, or did you just start networking?
Started with networking, ultimately. I mean, when I started getting involved in all this 4 or 5 years ago, when I started my education process and just by listening to podcasts, I started, anytime I'd listen to somebody on a podcast and they'd put their contact information, that's where I started my networking. Like, oh, I'm just going to call this guy or email him and set up a conversation and see how he's doing it or how she's doing it. And so that's where I started, rapidly advanced into more purposeful, like networking one-on-one. So I started going to events, and then I started my own meetup. I do that once a month in my local area, and eventually it progressed to where I started my own podcast. So networking is absolutely necessary if you're going to be a capital raiser. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Tell me about the starting of your platform, which is the Wealthy Trucker podcast. I've noticed that podcasting is really great for exposure, for getting your name out, and as a use as a branding tool to get in front of more investors. In fact, I loved it the other day. I was at the Vertical Street Ventures conference and somebody heard me networking and talking and laughing. And they're like, "Hey man, I've never met you, but I think that I've heard you on a podcast. You run a podcast?" And without even knowing what I'd look like, they already were familiar with me. They knew my voice and my story, which was crazy that somebody could pick me out from a crowd just from my voice. And that's the power of podcasting, I think. So why did you start this? Was it just to learn, or was it because you want to create a brand or get exposure? Any of these things ring true to you?
I mean, all of them ring true. I mean, ultimately, the primary reason I started The Wealthy Trucker was to try and find people who would potentially want to invest with me passively. And so that was the number one reason. But it, as I developed the concept of how the podcast was, you know, going to be structured and what I was going to talk about on it, it went far beyond that. And so it's kind of become a branding thing. And I'm trying to brand The Wealthy Trucker as something far beyond just real estate and real estate investing. So it kind of became its own thing. But it still serves a purpose when it comes to raising capital for real estate.
Yeah, man. When I started the Capital Raiser Show, I didn't do it to get in front of passive investors. I knew that that was, well, I didn't think about it too clearly, but I was like, if I'm going to start a show and I've been brought on board with my company to raise capital, I might as well start a platform on raising capital so I can learn about it. What I didn't realize is that, number one, my avatar, which people tell you, if you're going to start a show, you know, select an avatar that could invest with you, define who that is. My show did not do that. But what ended up happening, interestingly enough, is that because it's geared towards active investors, I can actually raise capital from other capital raisers. And I never actually knew or thought about that at the beginning when I started the show. And now we got people that want to participate in our funds and ownership of our deals. And it's very interesting how just doing this to help people raise capital for themselves led to the acquisition of capital for myself.
Yep.
That's kind of interesting. All right, cool, man. So we had a discussion just the other day about development and getting in there. Now, if I remember correctly, you were talking about getting away from the capital raising so that you could spend more time adding value through the acquisitions, through the city planning. Is that correct so far?
Oh, to a certain extent. Capital raising is its own bear of a job, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I could bring on a teammate that was their sole focus, that would be very nice, to be quite honest. I'm sure there'll always be some element of me raising my own capital. You know, I've got good investors that I don't want to ever get rid of, and they believe in what I do. And it's a pleasure for me to increase their investment dollars. And so I don't imagine personal capital raising will ever really go away. Just maybe the focus, I can not focus on it as much and more focus on, especially development deals. That takes a lot of focus, and more so than it does to buy an existing property. So yeah, there's some truth to that.
Yeah. I've interviewed a few people who do not declare themselves as capital raisers. They're like more on the operations side. Ashley Wilson comes to mind. And one of the ways, interestingly enough, that I believe capital is raised is just by simply being a good operator and putting together teams and managing and communicating with your existing investors who then create referrals and give referrals to you, which is one way of growing. And if you're a good operator, that is a part of the capital raising piece. So I think as you're going into build to rent, you can definitely focus on some other things besides raising capital and yet still be a capital raiser or contribute to the capital raising by whatever it is that you're doing. So what specifically, other than the extreme shortage for housing that there is in the entire country, is it that attracts you to development and specifically to either regular built to rent or assisted living built to rent?
So what is aside from the massive demand?
Why would you want to be a developer instead of a multifamily value add syndicator?
Well, I think I kind of touched on it a second ago. I can add a lot of value to my community. I know that my community needs the product that we're looking at. And nobody else has done it so far.
What is the product? What would you like to do?
It would be an assisted living / retirement community. Kind of have both of those elements in it. Because the community I live in right now, there is no assisted living. There is no quote unquote retirement housing. The zero entry concept where in wide doorways and a rental platform instead of home ownership. And that does not exist. And so when people are getting to the age where they're ready to get rid of their large dwelling because they have a big family, but they don't want to leave the community, they don't have any options. I want to be able to provide that value to my community. That's a big reason that's outside of the demand, although the demand plays right along with it. It's in high demand. And so to me, that puts a lot of security in the investment.
Yeah, commercial real estate, big real estate projects. What I love about it is you have a 10x impact versus a single family investment, right? Because you're affecting multiple people's lives. You're improving the entire community within your real estate project, whether that's a build to rent or a multifamily property. You're increasing value to the economy because there's people that gotta make the tires for the vehicles that take the lumber to the projects. And then you got construction managers, property managers, and all these other kinds of ancillary real estate providers that are working for and making money for their own families in your project. But what you're talking about is resident experience and providing something, which is another way to impact the world through real estate syndicating. And what I love about what you're talking about is you want to provide somebody or some multiple families with a way to enjoy the last part of their lives and have an impact and provide them with something that they can't typically get anywhere else, particularly in your community. So I love that aspect.
I'll just go back to that. I mean, I know my community needs it and I'm all about adding value and everything that I do. It kind of seems like as nerve-wracking and scary as development might be, to me, this is a no-brainer.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, let's jump into the lightning round. I'll start with this question. What's the best vacation you've ever taken?
I recently bought a new motorcycle. I've owned motorcycles for many years. And so last summer, we ended up taking it up into the mountains. And so I just drove it all through the Colorado mountains. And that will probably stick as one of my best vacations for a long time to come.
Very cool. I love scenery. All right. So what is your favorite childhood memory?
Rebuilding a car with my dad. He bought me an old broken down car. The engine was bad. And he also bought another car with a good engine. So he helped me pull the engine. Then he stepped back and said, if you want this car, you can finish the rest. And so I did. You know, he was there to answer questions and hand wrenches and stuff, but I ultimately had to figure it out. And I loved doing that with him. And the amount of knowledge it added into me has just been, I can't even put a value on it because I've done most of my own mechanic work, just save tens of thousands of dollars on vehicles since then. So. Mm-hmm.
It's good to be handy around the house and particularly with engines, man. So I commend you for that. I know a little bit about some things, but definitely have never built a car. All right. So best way to raise capital from your perspective?
Network, network, network. The podcast that rings to mind is the number one. So get on as many podcasts as you can. Tell everybody what you're doing. And if you're crazy enough, start your own.
All right. So how long do you want to live?
I don't know. I never really put a number to it. I'd say 90 sounds pretty good.
Do your spiritual philosophies have anything to do with your success in business?
Oh, absolutely. It's what's kept me focused on building good, ethical business and just being the man that God wants me to be. So yeah, absolutely.
What do you do to elevate yourself in terms of creating greater success?
A serious attention on my mindset, staying focused on specific things in life, like faith, family, fitness, finances, they're all separate, and maintaining a healthy, positive mindset in each one of those areas.
So what do you love best about running the Wealthy Trucker podcast?
Meeting new people. Yeah, I love that. I really do. There's a wide range of people out there. Everybody has different personalities and individual stories, and a person's story is a very powerful thing. And the more you podcast, the more you get to see that and realize that.
So we talked a little bit about sailing before the show. What is it about sailing that attracts you? What do you love about sailing?
You're at the mercy of God's creation. You get the wind pushing you where you need to go. It's relaxing. It's very quiet generally. You can be loud, but it's for the most part, compared to a motorized boat, it's very soothing. And it's hard work. It's hard work. And I love that about it. Every time I feel challenged, I know that I'm growing, getting better at something, whether that's physically, mentally, whatever. And sailing is a challenging thing to do. And so I love it.
Have you ever experienced a miracle or had a near-death experience?
Well, I've experienced multiple miracles. I have 5 children, and I got to deliver them, hand deliver them myself. Not all of them. I delivered 2.5 of them. That was pretty amazing. Near death? No, I've had some close calls out here on the highway, but nothing that was ever close to a death situation. So.
All right, last question. What kind of impact would you like to leave in the world?
I just want to give people a better place to live. When I'm buying properties and improving them, or building properties and improving my neighborhood, that impact can be very long lasting. And so I want to be able to create an impact there.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for entertaining us on that part of the show. Want to give a quick shout out to the Capital Razor Nation. Thanks for tuning in and leaving us a 5-star written review. Shout out to Legacy Acquisitions, my company, and our sponsors, Good Egg Investment, Syndication Pro, Caton Patel, Jerome Myers, and PitchDex.com, who is part of the Family Office Club. Really excited to be working with Richard C. Wilson in that group. With that, I'd like to find out, how does the audience get a hold of you, Eric?
Well, you can check out the Wealthy Trucker podcast. It's just called that, The Wealthy Trucker. If you go to any link that you'll find on there, you can apply to be interviewed on The Wealthy Trucker. Or you can check me out at my website, which is Febros Capital, F-E-B-R-O-S, capital.com. You can schedule a time to talk to me about getting involved in what it is that we're doing when it comes to syndications. Yeah, those would be the two best places.
All right. Any last words of wisdom for the aspiring capital raiser as they're scaling in their business?
This is a people business. Therefore, you must talk to people and get your story out there. The power of your story is significant, no matter how insignificant you may think it is. Work on developing your story. There's plenty of books out there that can help you on that, and start telling it.
Great words of wisdom, man. Really cool. I'll let you get back to your business. I know you're driving around in Kansas right now, so we'll check you out, man. I hope you have a good time listening to different shows, and enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. This has been great.